Welcome to Bear His Cross, a Christian podcast that strives to help you develop and build your daily walk with Christ through biblical lessons and teachings. Join me and special guests as we travel the biblical road together, learn more about God's Word, and enhance our relationship with Jesus Christ.
And welcome back, everyone, for part two of a two-part series on the last days in the book of Revelation. We are so glad that you're joining us. Again, we want to remind you that if you have not listened to the first part of this series, please be sure to do so by going to bearhiscross.com, where you can listen to part one and, of course, the other podcasts leading up to the Last Day series. We have several there, so we want you to go back and listen to those. It's important that we do that in context, but without further ado, let's go ahead and get into part two of the Last Days in the book of Revelation. Gave a quick run through of the first six chapters of Revelation, and now we are going to begin chapter 7. As we begin chapter 7, we see that there will be some who are spared from the events. 144,000 Jews, this is 12,000 from each tribe. The 144,000 will not be able to be killed during the tribulation because they are sealed. They will be preaching the gospel. God has set his seal upon them that they are not to be harmed. And therefore, their ministry will go out into the world at this time. The troubled times that we see in the world, where the calendar has been thrown off, the four horsemen of the apocalypse have come through, there have been false peace, there has been war, there has been famine, and then there has been death. These ministers will be very effective at sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. How do we know this? Verse 9 states, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, and kindred, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne, and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, and palms in their hands." So it's a great multitude. This multitude will be as a result of those 144,000 who are preaching the gospel during the second half of the tribulation period. To me, this speaks volumes of God's grace and his salvation. And this is also a reference to those who were crying out after the fifth seal, because there would still be those who accept Christ as their Savior, and they will be killed for their belief in him. It will be a martyrdom type situation. Now the relief is taking place as we conclude chapter 7. The seventh seal is now opened in chapter 8, verse 1. When this seal is opened, there is silence in heaven, which means that the worship, as we've talked about before in chapter 6 and the previous chapters, we now see that all the worship in heaven has stopped. After this time period of half an hour, that could be literal, could be figurative, we now see that the trumpet judgments are about to take place. We see John's writing of this in Revelation 8:6. Verse 7 states, "The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of trees was burned up, and all green grass was burned up." This judgment on vegetation is a judgment on man. Without vegetation, man cannot eat, not to mention the change of oxygenation in the world that would take place when that vegetation is dead. We all know about photosynthesis, and we know the cycle of carbon and oxygen and how that is cycled through vegetation. The cycle which God designed for us to breathe is now going to be hindered because of this first trumpet. When that vegetation is destroyed, that judgment has come on man, and there is no doubt that the air quality of earth is now going to be changed. The second trumpet sounds, and a great mountain, maybe a meteor or a volcanic eruption, takes place. One third of everything in the sea is dead. One third of all ships were destroyed. Imagine the smell of one third of all sea and ocean life floating to the top of those waters. We have one third of all vegetation dead. Now one third of all ocean life is dead. This is one large stinking, decaying mess that is on earth at this time. Now, in his time on earth, man has failed to recognize God's creation, and now God has taken it away. The beauty, the splendor that God gave us, the creation that he gave us to enjoy and for practicality in our life and what we needed to exist and live, has now been taken away. Verse 10 states, "And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters." This is a judgment now on fresh water. Water is essential to physical life. We know that you can survive without food, you cannot survive without water. Now an essential item to life has become bitter or unusable. We know that water becomes unusable because of what verse 11 states. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. They may have been made toxic. These would have been waters. Just imagine that the vegetation's gone. The ocean water has now been putrefied by the death of one third of all creatures in it. There's a terrible smell. Men would be clinging for water, and that water has been now made bitter. The fresh water after this, in what is in verse 10, the third angel sounding here, and we see that mankind is going to die because of these bitter waters. The fourth angel sounds the trumpet, and one third of the sun is, and the word used is smitten, along with one third of the moon and stars. Imagine again what this would do to the day. The calendar would be thrown off. Vegetation that is left cannot carry out photosynthesis to grow because one third of the sun is now gone. No doubt, with eclipses taking place constantly, Earth will be in utter chaos. Even vitamin D, which our body needs to be sustained, will be diminished. I doubt taking a multivitamin will be top priority to those left here on Earth at this time, considering that a third of the sea life is dead, and of course the waters have been made bitter. Verse 13 concludes the chapter by using the phrase, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. There are more dangerous trumpets to come." Now, it's hard to imagine what's going to take place next if we see that what has already happened as these trumpets have been blown, these judgments have been poured out on mankind, that the earth, you would think, what else could happen? But there is more. The fifth angel sounds in chapter 9, and Lucifer falls from heaven. He has the key to the bottomless pit, which contains all the demons that God has locked away for this time. Lucifer is now going to release these demons, which will be a plague on those on earth, except to those who have God's seal. They can only torment the men, but not kill them. Verse 6 states, "And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them." Now remember, there was going to be a time when death and hell would come in and scoop up mankind. Now death is fleeing them. It won't come and take those men away. And these demonic creatures, of course, are going to be tormenting men with stingers like scorpions. I do think that these are some of the demonic creatures that God has just locked away outside of the ones here on earth, so you can imagine the torment they put people through. The 11th chapter describes the two lampstands. There's a lot of debate here, I'm sure, and you can leave me your comments on the posting of this podcast page. Some people say this is the church and it is Israel. I do think these are going to be two witnesses who are going to proclaim Christ as king to those on earth. No doubt the woke crowd of today and those of this time will hate these two men. They are protected by God until an appointed time. They can control weather, turn water to blood, and no doubt CNN would have special coverage of them every night. The last Antichrist will actually kill them in Jerusalem. Their bodies are left in the street, and the world will see them. Now, we know that 100 years ago, this would not have been possible, but by the advent of television and satellite and social media, there's no doubt that these men can be seen by all on earth, which is prophesied about. And there will be people who will be celebrating the death of these two prophets because the two prophets are going to talk about Christ as Savior, Christ as King, and the woke crowd of that time, even of this time that we live in today. The world does not like to hear that. They don't like to proclaim that. So we know that these men will be hated. And that's why their bodies will be left in the street. They will not be given a proper burial. They will celebrate the death of these men. And the men will be left on earth. They'll be rejoicing. They'll be rejoicing at the death of these two, who, of course, will be standing up against their God at that time, which would be the last Antichrist. After 3.5 days, they will stand on their feet. That's what the Bible tells us they will do. Remember, they have been killed, which will cause great fear for those who see them, either in person, there in the city of Jerusalem, or online. There will be a lot of people watching, I'm sure, who will be terrified. They will be ushered away to heaven in a cloud. 1/10 of Jerusalem will fall in an earthquake, and 7,000 people will die. So much so that now those here decide to give glory to God in heaven. The seventh trumpet is now about to sound. Chapter 12 gives us a glimpse of what is going to take place on earth as Satan and his followers war with Michael and are permanently kicked out of heaven. Remember in Job when Satan had access. Now, he and his followers no longer have this access, and demonic forces are running rampant on earth. They're trapped here to this earth, and they're going to run rampant. The Antichrist will attack God's people for these last 3.5 years. He will be accompanied by the false prophet, The prophet will point everyone to worship the last Antichrist. Everyone in the world will be a roaming maniac. You can imagine what these people will be like as satanic and demonic creatures are influencing and hurting and harming mankind. This last Antichrist has now swept through, and he, of course, does not bring the peace that he promises to bring. And the false prophet is telling everyone, you must worship him. Roaming maniacs will be all over the earth, even worse than what we have even thought we've seen today. All people on earth will then be only allowed to buy or sell without having a number. The number given is 666 and will be the marking that allows only transactions to take place if you have the mark. If you think this is impossible or could never happen, look to digital banking. Your account can be cut off immediately. This will no doubt be a governmental mandate from the Antichrist himself. Now comes the seven plagues on mankind. The first plague is a plague of sores on men who have the mark of the beast or worship the Antichrist. Again, if you haven't listened to the podcast on these, I recommend that you go back and you listen to them because it gives so much context into who this figure will be. The second plague turns the sea to blood. Everything dies in the sea. The third plague now hits all fresh water. So not only have we seen the destruction of one-third of the salt water, one-third of the fresh water previously that made the waters bitter and men died, now the fresh water and the seawater that was remaining after that, two-thirds of that water that was left over, it's now just toxic. All fresh water, all salt water is now toxic. The fourth plague is upon the sun, and it scorched men to death. So let's just look at this in a way that sores come up on the bodies of those who have the mark of the beast. Remember, the mark of the beast was required for you to buy and sell. It was promoted by the false prophet who said, get this mark and we'll sell you goods. We'll take care of you. It was that false hope. It was that counterfeit faith in the Antichrist. It was that counterfeit hope that he brought. Remember, Satan always uses a counterfeit. He wants to give something contrary to the true king, to the true savior. And these men that are left here on earth are going to have everything dead in the sea. It's going to be bitter waters. And now the sun is going to scorch them. There's not going to be any kind of sunscreen that's going to be able to provide protection from this. And of course, at this time, with all the chaos going on earth, we know that sunscreen is probably not even going to be something you could buy. And if you did buy it, then you would have had to have the mark. And of course, with the mark, you've now got sores all over your body. So if you've ever had a cut or a scrape that might be pretty severe, and then you were sunscreened right on top of that, we know that that would just be that flesh getting baked. It would be pure misery. And now, even with all this taking place, men that are left here on earth still curse God. They still curse God after all this takes place. The fifth plague left men in darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain. Now, they have been scorched by the sun. There's no fresh water to drink. Everything in the sea is dead, so there's going to be a putrefying smell. It's going to smell terrible, and they've also have sores all over their body from having the mark. I mean, mankind still, with all of this taking place, they do right the opposite of what we might think they would do. We would be begging for mercy. No, they curse God. And now darkness falls on them, and it says they gnawed their tongues for pain. There's chaos, both physically, emotionally, mentally, however you might want to say it, even spiritually, because there's going to be demons running around tormenting these men. Men still curse God during this. They did not repent. And this brings on the sixth. The sixth seal was the drying of the river Euphrates and sets the stage for the battle of Armageddon in the Megiddo that we have seen. I know Napoleon at one point in time said that the land that laid out around where the Battle of Armageddon was prophesied to take place was the best battlefield he had ever seen. Let's move on. The three in this unholy trinity are now present, and this is the counterfeit trinity. They deceive men with great works and draw them to battlefield to stand against God. If you have not, again, listened to the podcast about the last Antichrist, this would be a great time to do so. Pause it here, go back and listen, then pick back up. Daniel 11 describes this battlefield. At this time, we see chapter 16 of Revelation, and the seventh plague is now taking place. Everything has collapsed, as we see in chapter 18. Economic, banks, money has collapsed. Everyone is just trying to survive at this time. Chapter 17 shows us that even travel has collapsed. It's important to even take note that verses 22 and 23 will show the party is over here on earth. And I mean that in an evil sense. The evil party has ended, and that the party here on earth where Satan thought he had everyone convinced that it was just a life of the party to commit sin, it's over. They are now reaping what they're sowing from that sin. At this point, we finally see rejoicing in heaven in chapter 19. The marriage supper of the Lamb is ready. In verse 17, God calls the birds to eat the flesh of all men who will be slaughtered at the battle of Armageddon. And at this time, the last Antichrist, the false prophet, will be cast into the lake of fire. Satan is then bound for 1,000 years, whether this be literal or figurative. Satan is then loosed, and the great white throne judgment takes place. Here is where Satan and those not found in the book of life are cast into the lake of fire for eternity. Now, at this time, believers are ushered into the new heaven and the new earth, where they will be with Jesus for eternity. And that is the hope that we wait for. That is the hope that we are waiting on, because now God has restored this creation earth to his son, Jesus. Jesus will be our king forevermore, and that gives us great hope. I hope that you learned something through this series. I hope that you've been able to listen to the full podcast series, because it is important in each part. And I know that this second part of the last days in the book of Revelation was very quick. It went through those events very quickly. Of course, we could spend days and days in podcast and podcasts on that. But to wrap up this series of the last days, I wanted to take some time to go through Revelation and briefly go over the events that will take place and to give you comfort in something. That comfort is this: we know who wins. As believers in Jesus Christ, we know who wins in the end, and that is what is important, and that's what we need to share with the world. There's going to be terrible times ahead. There's going to be terrible things that take place, but Jesus Christ, our Lord and King, has already reserved a spot for us to worship with him in a place that we would call paradise. It's something that I can't even imagine. You can't even imagine. It has not even entered into the heart of man. God has prepared for those who believe in him and accept his son as Lord and Savior. So take note that Jesus is going to win this. I know that we see troublesome times in our day. Things are going to get worse, but have faith. Know that Jesus Christ is going to be that king. We are going to be with him for eternity. And know this: if you do not believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, there's going to be awful times. As I said earlier, the party is going to be over here on earth. It will come to an end, and Satan's reign of running around here on earth will stop. Thank you again for listening. We hope that you learned something from this podcast series. It took a lot of work and a lot of study. And until we meet again, may God richly bless you in the love of Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening to this episode of Bear His Cross Podcast. You can always go to bearhiscross.com, where you can subscribe to our email newsletter, or find Bear His Cross on your favorite podcast provider. And once you do, please be sure to leave a review so others know what you think about this podcast.